Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello, this is Matt Halloran again, host of Top Advisor Marketing. We are joined again by John Anderson, Managing Director and Head of Practice Management at SEI. We are live at the conference. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Matt.
Good. Well, we're going to talk today about something a little bit different, and I know that you've done an enormous amount of research on this, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say. We're going to talk about the four ways to create positive client experiences and get more referrals. So where do we start?
Well, I think, you know, quite frankly, it is a little bit of that reality check. We all talk about referrals being the major source of our new business. We all talk about referrals as the lifeblood of our business. And fortunately, what I find in many cases is that the way we go about referrals is really about the client experience that we deliver. You know, I think about the type of relationship that we have with clients. I think about the type of service that we deliver clients. If we're doing those things right, then where the referrals are going to come in. Unfortunately, what I find in many cases is the referral process that a lot of advisors have tends to be rather hodgepodge.
Sure.
You know, they're going to ask once in a while, do you know anybody if you think about a successful client meeting, So the client comes in, that you do a great job of planning, you do a great job of the investment review, you do a great job of wondering what their goals are and working with them to get that. And at the very end of the meeting, you kind of start slowing down, you look at your shoes, and you start with this, I don't know, is there anybody that I could work with that you know, or is there anybody
absolutely
that you think could use my services? Of course, the client then looks down at his shoes or her shoes, and they say, well, I can't really think of anybody right now. I'll get back to you. And it really takes what was a great meeting into just a really disaster ending.
Absolutely.
And what we find is that for the most part, what we're doing here is we're forcing that pressure on the client to come up with, Who should I refer to?
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe clients don't refer because they want to help you. They want to help you, and it's great. But we're putting all the pressure. So I wrote an article a couple of years ago, and it was titled About Referrals. It's not them, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I really wanted to think about is when I wrote that article and with other pieces that I put together, is to really put the pressure back on the advisor to, number one, deliver the right kind of service. And I think it's more of a reality check. It's really a reality check to say, you know, do you provide great service?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the one that is asking your clients via surveys if you're delivering what they should be getting? Are you considered an investment manager or a wealth manager?
Mm-hmm.
Are you providing that over-the-top level? And it's really kind of doing that reality check on yourself first before you think about really what how the referrals are coming in.
Well, let's talk about the reality check. So when you walk advisors through this, a reality check can a lot of times be almost physically painful because you're almost slapping them around a little bit.
Yeah.
So what happens? I mean, when you ask them these questions, what sort of epiphanies are you seeing with advisors?
Well, let me give you a great story. So there's an advisor that I work with up here in Chicago, and it was a guy I've known for many, many years, so I could be a little bit more open.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like is, you know, we have the ability sometimes to come in as a professional, but someone who understands the business, but also, quite frankly, the average client for a lot of these people. So I can kind of take a second look at what they're, and I look at their, I'll give you the great example. So it's really looking inside, are you the one that would be referable?
Sure.
And I'll give you the example. So this advisor up in Chicago, I walk into his office, and I'm seated in the glass-enclosed conference room, which is great. And it's a beautiful room. And I sat there waiting for the advisor to show up, and I kind of looked to the right. And on the right is this beautiful lithograph. It's Uncle Sam. He's holding out his hand, and he's got the war bonds in his left hand and the finger in his right hand. And I look at the left side of the screen, left side of the room, and it's this beautiful masted painting, the sailing ship on these rough seas. It was beautiful. And I look through the glass door, and there's a TV monitor up on top, of course, with CNBC and the Dalbar chart. And as Nick walked in the room, I said, Nick, let's think about this. What image are we trying to project? Is it that of a trusted wealth manager, or is it rationing coming up ahead because of a war or something like that? Is it rough seas ahead? CNBC screaming at me through the thing. You know, so I think about the image that you project, and sometimes just being able to look maybe with a different set of eyeballs to say, is that the message that I want to send?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a quick story. As we go back to that office 6 weeks later, all of a sudden on one wall, it's pictures of his family and his grandkids and all the celebrations that they've had. Mm-hmm. On the next wall, it's a map of the world, and they're stick pins where all of these clients have gone to in their retirement. Yeah. And the Travel Channel is now on the TV. And so he's created that environment about fulfilling goals and family. So when I think about those little things, mm-hmm. when I think about, are you referable? Yeah, we've got to deliver the service. But at the same time, what's the message that we want to send? And how do we send that message in sometimes a subliminal way as well as a right in your face?
Well, two points on that. It drives me utterly insane when I walk into an advisor's office and CNBC's on. Mm-hmm. And especially when they're financial planners and they don't want to talk about what's going on in the market, because the world's coming to an end all the time on CNBC,
exactly.
right? And so, you know, the client comes in and they weren't stressed before, but oil just went down 0.0001% and they're making a big deal out of it. So I did an on-site, much like what you're talking about, with a long-standing client down in Georgia. And I walked into their conference room and they had this amazing credenza, right, with all of these books. And I looked at the books and the books were... how to negotiate with difficult people, how to close the right business, high pressure life insurance sales.
Oh, good.
And I'm walking in there. I started throwing the books out on their big, huge conference room table. And like, what the heck are you doing? I was like, this is the first thing my eyes were drawn to. He's like, well, my clients have never said anything about it. Well, of course not, because they think you're going to try to close them on whatever's going on. And so I went back there. I made them take pictures, actually. I didn't go back down to Georgia. But they changed all of the books to... exactly what you're talking about, you know, travel books and globes and cool things like that, right?
Yeah.
So that you have the opportunity to feel a lot more comfortable.
Exactly. And, you know, it just now sends that right message, and it sends the messages of long-term versus short-term. So it makes perfect sense.
All right. Where do we go from here? So we're talking about the four ways to create a positive client experience. So we talked about the reality check. Now what do we do?
Well, a number of years ago, I read an article, and actually, now that I think about it, I saw Bob Vary speak. He put together a piece called The Six Dimensions of Client Service. I think I copied the article. I looked at it. I loved it. Because what he started to talk about is really how do we deliver that client service to the client? And what are the steps that you should be doing to make sure that, you know, at the end of the day, if we want to be referable, we got to deliver that great client service.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, it was setting clear expectations with the client, making sure that not necessarily, you don't have to promise them the world, but you mm-hmm. have to tell them what you're going to do and you're going to have to do it. You have to be responsive to those right. client requests and messages. You have to return the phone call.
Sure.
I mean, it's ridiculous how many people, you know, it takes time to return a phone call from a client that's paying you, especially in an AUM world.
Yeah.
Providing that high-quality professional advice and service. So really taking a look at your business on a regular basis and make sure that you're delivering the most professional advice that you can possibly be delivering. Looking at the exemplary conduct and character in all business interactions so we don't just wing it.
Mm-hmm.
We actually take our time. We do it the right way and the right way every time. Now, to me, we're going to talk a little bit about one of the ways to do that.
Okay.
But it's really creating systems in your office to make sure that that service is perfect every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, you know, these people are coming into your office and they're opening up their hearts.
Yep.
They're opening up their hearts. They're opening up their goals. So it's building that close, trusting, working relationship with the client and visibly caring. They're going to know if you're not authentic.
Yeah.
They're going to know if this doesn't really mean a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
So building that close, trusting relationship. And I think, frankly, that's the reason most of us got into this business.
Sure.
But making sure that we show it on a regular basis.
Right. I want to have you clarify a little thing on two points there. Number one, when you're talking about setting clear expectations, dive into that a little bit more deeply. Are you talking about, because expectations can kind of go with systems, so how are you doing that? What? Give us some more examples of what the expectations are, whether it's to have a great client experience or be more referable.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like, I've seen advisors do on a regular basis is put together kind of a roadmap of service. And it's really just a one-page sheet
mm-hmm.
that says, this is what your experience is going to look like when you work with us.
Mm-hmm.
In the first quarter, we're going to meet. The fourth quarter, we're going to meet. Whatever the expectations that you have for this relationship. But setting that expectation up front that this is how we're going to communicate. This is where we're going to meet. This is when we're going to talk. This is why we're going to talk. And what, frankly, I really love, what I've seen a number of advisors do, is turn this into a roadmap where it's a repeating cycle.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of that, is something that says, here's what we do behind the scenes. Here's all the interactions that we're going to have with regard to your account, with regard to your relationship, that you may not see, but we're going to continue to do.
Yeah.
So it's setting the expectations for the client that this is a long-term, repeatable cycle, not I'm going to sell you today and never talk to you again.
Gotcha. The other piece of that is about being authentic. And so I used to work with a guy that I'm sure a lot of people have heard of. His name's Ron Carson. And one of the things that he always used to say was you have to be in the right state of mind when you go in. So if you're distracted, if you're thinking about this, everything needs to go away. When you're about to meet and have an amazing client experience, the number one thing you need to do is be in the right mindset. Who are they? What are they doing? What have they been experiencing? Where are they in that process that you were just talking about? We don't realize, I think, as professionals all the time that it's game time,
right?
It's like you put your jersey on. You know, Kirk is a huge hockey guy, right? So we talk about that all the time. You know,
then it's the sweater on.
Well, yeah, you put the sweater on. But he also has all of the pads. He's got the infrastructure, and he knows the plays. And as advisors, a lot of times, they're just winging it, man. They don't realize that, hey, I need to use plan A, plan B, plan C with this client. Then they're more prepared. They come across as more genuine, and they really look like a more organized advisor.
Right. I absolutely agree. I think that the process of these meetings has to be really stand up for a lot of people. And really, again, not winging it, but really putting it together. And being prepared for it.
So what else did Bob say, and what else you were talking about when you're talking about control?
Well, you know, I think that's really one of the things that really I focus on a lot is we have to figure out how we can control the things that we can control.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the client service meetings, one of the things, again, around expectations, I can't control the markets.
You can't?
I can for me, but not for everybody else.
I can't
control the markets. I can't control the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I can control my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I can control how prepared I am. I can control the messaging that I have. So when I think about focusing on what I can control how I relate to the clients and the service that I deliver. So the more I focus on my delivery rather than focusing on, hey, here's your performance for the last quarter, it was good or bad, the more I can focus on what I can control, it makes so much more sense. And again, it helps set those expectations.
Absolutely. And again, I'm going to do an amen here again, like I did yesterday with our podcast. And I'm glad that you're preaching this, right? Because, and especially, well, it has a lot to do with the organization that you're involved in and what SEI does for people, which is fantastic. But it drives me absolutely crazy because, you know, what makes a great advisor is being controlling, right? I want my advisor to be controlling, very detail-oriented. But they do need to understand that there are certain things that they can control. And if they can get ahead of that, man, that changes the client relationship.
Well, to me, I mean, the business is changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more about empathy.
Yes.
It's much more about understanding, much less about the numbers and the performance. I think we all have to be technically astute, but when it comes to the empathy and when it comes to understanding the client, that's really where, again, if we're going to drive this back to referrals, I think I heard Julie Littlechild say, when I go out with my friends, surprisingly, I don't talk about financial advisors.
Yeah.
I don't say, hey, do you know anybody that can get me an extra 100 basis points of alpha?
Mm-hmm.
I talk about issues. I talk about problems. I talk about situations that we're in. And, you know, if you give your friend or family member, if they describe a situation and you know that your advisor can help them in that situation, that's when they're going to do the referral.
Yeah.
Not when you say, hey, do you know anybody?
Mm-hmm.
But that's when they're going to give the really good referral. So it's really upon us to make sure that they have a great client experience. They understand what we can do for them to get that referral.
Man, Julie's new book.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
Love it.
I was very, very honored because she came on the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. She was one of our first guests.
Oh, good.
I've been following Julie forever because I used to use her Advisor Impact Survey. Right, with all of my coaching clients. And so it was unbelievable. She's so smart and so astute. But you're also talking about this last piece here with the overall client experience and in creating referrals, which is marketing, which is something that you have a lot of experience and specialty in. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I think about the service experience, and I say this a lot. I may have said it yesterday. I certainly say it almost every single day.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I really look at is to make sure that the communication is about you, is about what you can do. You know, 10 years ago, if I said, hey, you got to go see my advisor is great, my advisor does a great job for me, and here's the situation that they've solved, the problem, you know, you would probably pick up the phone based on my referral.
Sure.
Today, what are you going to do? You're going to Google that.
You're turned right up. You're going to Google them. Absolutely.
So what you're going to do is you're going to say, well, let's find out who that person is.
Uh-huh.
Let's find out what they stand for. Let's find out about, you know, is it the type of relationship that I want going mm-hmm. forward? So when it's marketing, when it's client communications, we want to make sure that we're sending the message that we want to be perceived as.
Yes.
Right? So if I say I am a financial advisor to people who are getting ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
That I understand what they go through in retirement, that I can help them navigate what to do with the rest of their lives and things like that. And then I go to my website, and it says, here's what the S&P did.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
here,
yeah.
By the way, we're hiring today.
Yes.
And all the websites tend to say stuff like that. So yeah. When I look at it, I'm saying it needs to be all the way through. It needs to be consistent with who you are. And again, that's also about client service,
yeah.
But it's also about the messaging that you deliver.
Well, and Kirk talks about that often. We talk about that a lot on the podcast here for Top Advisor Marketing, because there has to be a massive amount of consistency. And one of the things that Kirk is known for is helping people craft that message so that it is very consistent and it really screams exactly what you want to scream. And in turn, it builds a lot of trust,
yes.
Right? Which is super awesome, because it's so hard to build trust in this industry, because unless you are truly unique and different and you specialize in something, and if your website and your marketing material isn't supporting that, then you're not building trust as quickly. And if it's done correctly, you can build trust very, very quickly.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, we talk about that sea of sameness, if you will, from
yes.
Most advisors. If you were about to say that I deliver comprehensive financial planning, so did 95% of
yeah.
Everybody that you talk to is going to say they deliver comprehensive
yeah.
Financial planning. So maybe if you said I deliver comprehensive financial planning for retirees from a specific company
yep.
In a specific geographic area,
mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden you've got that credibility there. And
yeah.
They really understand who you are.
Yeah.
And they say, well, maybe this person can help me
mm-hmm.
Because I worked for that company. And I live in that area.
Well, so it's. I love that you say that. So I just got a. I've got a guy in Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, and Coke, right now is doing some plan buyouts.
Mm-hmm.
Some, whatever, they're forcing people out of the company. However you want to look at it, and so he ended up creating this Facebook ad, that is the color, of the Coke logo, right? That red. Now it's not in the Coke stuff because you get in a whole bunch of trouble for that. But you look at it, it's like Target. When you walk into Target, you know that you're in Target,
sure.
Right? And when you look at this, you know it's Coke, right? And he created an ad, and we focused it directly on, like, you're his ideal client, right? We talked about this yesterday. You're 55, corporate executive, you know, makes a good living, diligent saver. That's exactly who he's looking for. And in Facebook, you can drill down.
Yeah.
To being scary specific, man, on what's there. So I'm so glad that you said that, because we support that wholeheartedly here. And so now let's talk a little bit more about some focus on what you just your overall focus. How do you help people make that paradigm shift?
You know, I think, you know, there's a couple of questions that you have to really go through. You have to think about what your business is like. If you're going to earn the referrals rather than ask for them, if you're going to earn the referrals, there's a couple of things that I think make sense to really focus on. Number one, not assuming that the clients are satisfied. We can't just make an assumption that they know who they are,
mm-hmm.
or that we're delivering the right kind of service. We can't make an assumption that they're doing it. So you talk about client questionnaires or things like that.
Yep.
One of the things that I like to focus on is, you know, we talk about segmentation.
Yes.
Now, segmentation to me is a great idea. And I would bet that 95% of advisors do it wrong.
Yes.
Well, maybe not wrong. Maybe do it differently than it could be, or not maximizing the opportunity. If I think about segmentation, we do ABC clients. We go gold, silver, platinum clients, single A, double A, triple A, whatever client
sure.
Segmentation you use. However, most advisors do segmentation based on what's important to them and not what's important to the client.
Sure.
So think about it. Pick on me again. 55-year-old executive, whatever you want to call me. Let's say I exercise some stock options and I all of a sudden have $1 million. Which would be very nice, by the way. But if I go to my financial advisor, I'm going to say, here's $1 million.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to retire for 15 years.
Uh-huh.
Please manage that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so everybody around is going to say, that's an A client, $1 million, that's always good.
Mm-hmm.
So another client walks in the door, 68-year-old couple. they have $1 million that they just retired. They're going to draw down in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you as the advisor say, boy, first of all, I'm lucky. I got $2 million clients this week.
Yes.
Second of all, you say, you know, for my A clients, I'm going to deliver the best service possible.
Mm-hmm.
So my best service for my A clients means I do quarterly update meetings where we look at the financial plan, where we look at the investments, where we talk about the trust and the estates, and we talk about insurance, and we talk about beneficiaries. We invite all of our A clients to a monthly educational workshop where we bring in a wholesaler to talk about the markets and the economy, maybe a product that they have. We invite them to semi-annual client appreciation events where they're allowed to bring a friend. So for me, I'm going to say I don't want any of that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
For my 68-year-old couple that just retired, they're going to say, is there anything else we want to do?
Right.
You know, it's great, right?
Yeah.
So when we start segmenting based on what's important to us, we lose out on the opportunity to really craft a service around a certain type of client.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned this before. When I think about a type of presentation that I would go to or a client event that I would go would be dramatically different. I'm a working person. I travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is an entrepreneur who's building a company. We have two young kids. I'm probably not going to attend most of the stuff that you do unless it's truly unique and targeted more towards me and maybe my family.
Right. And please, as the advisor, don't take offense to the fact that you can't do it. It's just not in your field house right now, right?
Yeah.
It's just not in your
purview.
Tell
you that. Yeah, exactly. But when I think about, again, segmenting services and segmenting based on what's important to the client, what I'm going to realize is that it's very important for me that the advisor employs a lot of technology.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to look at my statements, my accounts, my vault at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to want to do webcasts or using technology to meet because I'm not going to drive to his office.
Sure.
And so you look at the way you can create that client service that you understand your client better.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make me want to say, hey, for the people that are in my network, this is the person that understands who I am and how I want to work.
I want to add one layer to that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because a lot of advisors, when they do it on demographics, right, which is very me-oriented. But the other thing that I want them to always include is some massive psychographics,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to know if it's you, the 55-year-old busy, you know, business executive, if that's what my target is. So let's break down what that means, right, from a psychographic standpoint. You know, what do you like to do? What do you want? And I love that. So I'm just kind of adding another term to that, which is the psychographics, because again, from a technology standpoint, like I'm not going to go drive to see my advisor. I have this great thing called a computer. You know, I mean, I can just sit with you and stare at you through Google Hangouts or Skype or GoTo or Join Me, you know, and take care of all of that stuff. And I would prefer that just because it's so much more convenient.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is try to create a simple life for our clients.
And you can expand your reach. Mm-hmm. See, that's a super fun thing. So maybe, you know, as a financial or as a advisor, you specifically work with Koch executives, right? And there's Koch executives all over the country. Well, you can market to all of them all over the country and say, hey, look, you know, there might be a financial advisor in your backyard, but does he really truly understand Koch, right? All of a sudden, you can really work with who you want to work with.
Yep.
And from a marketing perspective, which Kirk talks about a lot, that we can clearly and succinctly target that group.
Absolutely. And then you start bringing in that brand around that type of client.
Yeah.
It works exceptionally well.
Okay. So we're talking about changing your focus and making sure that you're asking the clients about who they are. And now let's talk about some of the systems and how can we make it so that we keep all of these balls in the air?
Great. So again, to create a positive client experience, obviously we're hoping to get more referrals down the road, but probably the easiest and the simplest way to really create that positive experience is to never screw up.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things that we looked at, we started working with workflows about mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years ago. And for the clients that we work with, we actually created a package of over 45 workflows. Now, workflows are step by step, here's what to do. And we started off with manuals, which most people think about having. Most mm-hmm. people just use either a traveling checklist or a yellow sticky or something like that. Then we created these swim lanes. And a swim lane, if you think about the Olympics, mm-hmm. right? We talked about swimmers a little earlier today.
Yeah.
If you think about what happens in the Olympics, what do you see? You see this lane where each of the different swimmers are going through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about three swim lanes. One of them being the client service, the admin, if you
uh-huh.
will. One of them being a paraplanner an assistant planner. And the other one being the advisor itself.
Gotcha.
If you think about the flow of a day, you're going to have pre-meeting stuff. you're going to have the actual meeting stuff, and you're going to have the post-meeting stuff. Mm-hmm. So what we did, we diagrammed out things like a client service meeting. We diagrammed how to do an address change. We diagrammed a marketing meeting on behalf of your staff. So we diagrammed out 41 of those. And then we worked with one of our strategic partners, Redtail, mm-hmm. to actually program them into your CRM.
Sure.
So it's a really nice program to be able to say, I want to make sure that I don't make any mistakes.
Sure.
And the more repeatable processes that you have, the more opportunity you have to maybe forget something. Maybe you don't do it every single day, so you kind of go back. So having the opportunity to go in and create workflows on behalf of your business really means you don't make the simple mistakes.
Sure.
You don't let the client down. There's not a piece of paper that didn't get missed. Now, let me take a side step. So about 2 years ago, we started to roll out these workflows.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of the first conversations I had with an advisor said, you know what, John, I'm just a small firm. It's me. It's my admin. Mm-hmm. And I don't really need these big workflows. If you're talking workflows, you're talking to the big firms. You're talking to the $2 billion RIA down the street. My argument was just the opposite.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, that $2 billion firm down the street probably has 17, 20 employees who can pick up the slack.
Yeah.
If it's you and an admin, if it's you and a paraplanner, the workflows become very, very important. Because what happens if you get hurt? What happens if you get injured? What happens if you have an extended time out of the office? How does the workflow happen? Mm-hmm. If it's all in your head, then it doesn't happen at all.
Absolutely.
So the smaller the office becomes, the more key person dependent that real
Absolutely.
Business really is.
Yeah.
So workflows are incredibly important. And then the last thing I'll tell you is we had an advisor that we work with actually out in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area, who said that she had a great client experience. Everything worked perfectly as she was doing this intake with this new client. The client came back and said, you know what, this was the smoothest thing. I never expected it to be this easy.
Huh.
I've got three friends. Would you mind starting to work with them?
Wow.
So it's part of that referral process because you want to make sure that that experience is exactly what they expect, and a workflow allows you to deliver on those expectations.
Now, not to put you on the spot here, but how could anybody get access to those?
Well, we do have the template set up.
Okay,
there are some free workflows that we've created.
Oh, great! Okay.
Typically around the DOL.
Oh, nice.
So you can go to our Practically Speaking blog. You can search on that, and we really created the workflows for the DOL rule or the fiduciary rule, if you will, mm-hmm. around how do we create a plan to be able to document our work on deciding how we're going to interact with clients going forward.
Okay.
Are we going to hold them in their existing products and use the BIC contracts? Are we going to transition those clients to maybe a fee-based platform? Or are we going to, unfortunately, orphan the account?
Yeah.
Or in other words, you know, tell them that we just can't work with anymore.
Right.
So it creates a strategy, a plan, who does what in that workflow, and then individual workflows on each one of those transactions at the client level. So we did a workflow at the firm level. We did a workflow at the individual client level. And those you can download directly through us with Redtail, and it will just go right into your system.
Wow.
Or you can download the manuals and the swim lane diagrams if you don't use Redtail.
Okay. So we're going to include a link in the show notes in the podcast, if that's okay.
That's fine.
That would be awesome. And how cool is it that you worked with a technology partner on that? That's fantastic to be able to have that be integrated into the software.
You know, if it's not integrated into the software, papers get lost.
I agree, man.
Things get done. You have a new admin that comes in that doesn't know the process and procedures. Having a integrated into the CRM really makes it almost infallible.
Yeah.
And it just happens so much better. So that's one of the reasons that we chose. And, you know, we had done our research. Many of the advisors that we work with, and it's actually one of the most popular CRMs for financial advisors.
Absolutely.
So we went to Redtail first, and they were great at stepping up and saying, yes, this is a great idea. Let's work on this together, especially around the DOL, because we all found a way that we needed to find a way to, as I said, document the work that we do, to be able to prove that this was in the best interest and that we had thought about why we did what we did.
Okay. So, John, let's keep talking about the focus changes here, because we just talked about a couple. Let's keep diving in, because it seems like you're it's almost like this iceberg that we've created, right?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're showing all of these things that are underneath the water. So tell us more about what's underneath the water.
So underneath the water, I think we also have to think a little bit more about committing to better, smarter communications. You know, I look at communications as a way to really involve the client into what we do. You know, we see advisors that are sending out market updates, and I know that we've talked about this in the past. I don't want a market update. I will never read a market update. If I wanted to know what the market did, I would type it. I've got it, my phone in my pocket.
Right.
It just pops up.
That's right.
So I really see no, especially if I'm a financial advisor or a planning firm versus a market firm.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that it allows you to kind of, again, this is what I can't control, and I'm reinforcing what I can't control must be important to me by sending out that market update.
Mm-hmm.
What I can talk about is goals.
Sure.
The client sat down with me and focused on goals, right? So one of the things that I find very interesting in, and kind of a disconnect in the advisor practices today is that we do a great job of discovery. We do a great job of sitting down with a client, getting to understand the goals, understanding the problems, understanding the trade-offs. We do a great job of creating investment portfolios mm-hmm. to base around those goals, to understand that, you know, there's the long-term goal of college education or retirement. There's a short-term goal of having enough money if the market tanks or something like that. And we do a great job of discovery, do a great job of investing, and then we say, oh, by the way, here's how it did versus the S&P.
Yeah.
So our benchmarks are completely irrelevant. I don't right. care about the S&P.
Yeah.
I care about me.
Right.
I care about can I retire and send the kids to college.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about the communications, maybe we need to start thinking more about maybe progress to goals instead of how this portfolio. Now, it's important for me as an advisor to understand, is the portfolio doing what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
But really, it's more about coming back to the client and saying, you said you need to have $100,000 worth of income
yep.
For the rest of your life. You have a 98% chance of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's confidence.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, you walk out of that meeting and you know there's a 98% chance,
right?
Right. Which we can't guarantee, I know, but a 98% probability that you're going to be, man, I'm walking on air, dude. I mean, that makes me so happy.
And who cares what the S&P did?
I don't.
I care yeah. if I have that 98%
right.
chance.
Yeah,
and that's
awesome.
Really the confidence. And then when I walk away, how am I being judged? If I'm the client and I walk away from the advisor's office, I can walk away one of two ways. I can walk away and say, I underperformed the market by 100 basis points or
yep.
overperformed. Or I can say, you know what? You got to go talk to my advisor. I have a 98%
yeah.
chance that I have that confidence. I'm going to feel much better
yep.
about the referral if I feel that this person understands my goal, not what the market did.
Yeah.
So it's really that building that better, smarter communication model to work with the client.
And that is a fantastic change in focus.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the preach on brother again with that one, because that is something that I wish you could scream it from the mountaintops. Well, actually, I know that you do because you speak all over the place. But I'm really, really glad that you bring that up, because what I need to know as an advisor is very different than what you want to know as a client. All right. So what's next on changing your focus?
The last one is, I think, is really focusing on the successful client meetings. You know, this is the time that you have the most interaction with a client. They're coming in. They're sitting down with you. And let's call it, for example, a semi-annual client service meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the one time a year or the two times a year that you're really going to get together with the client. And you mentioned it a little bit before, but it's important to have a process around that.
Yes.
It's important to have a theme around it, and it's important to be able to show that you really care. Now, there's a lot of things that we can do, right? The first thing that we look at is, for many people, is to go back to the plan. Look at the plan. Now, there's a really expensive tool that a number of people use out there. It's really tough. It's called Excel. And one of the things that I see advisors do nowadays, and I have one that I'm working with that's even expanding this right now, but inside the client folder is a very simple Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
And it says, here's what you came here for.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the projects that we've worked on. Here's when it's completed or in the process of being completed. So the first time that the client walks in the door on an annual basis, they look at this thing and say, wait a minute, remember, it's about the plan. It's not about the performance.
Sure.
So they use that as an opportunity to really drive back. And then they start talking about what's changed since then. There's a great little four-box piece that we use
mm-hmm.
to help advisors really get to the heart of some of the issues.
Okay.
And if you think about it, it's very, very simple. Think about one big box.
Okay.
On the lower, and then an axis. So on the lower axis,
mm-hmm.
It's going to say now or later.
Okay.
And the upper box, on the left axis, it's going to say priority.
Mm-hmm.
So really what you've done is you've started to help the client prioritize and put a timeline around some of their specific goals.
Right.
So what are the things that we have to do now? Lower left-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that we have to do later? Right-hand corner. What are the things that we want to do now? What are the things that we want to do later?
Sure.
Love that philosophy
yeah.
because it starts to bring home the things that we're working on. Now, one of the advisors that I work with in South Carolina has actually taken that little diagram and he's put it on 11 by 16, framed it, and put it in his conference room.
Huh.
So when the prospects or clients walk in, he puts that down in front of them. He takes a dry erase, and they actually write on that picture, hey, I want to take care of my kids in education. Mm-hmm. I want to retire. I want to buy a second home. I want to give back to the community. And they start to prioritize in those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
When they've done with that, he'll actually take a picture off of his cell phone, take a picture of it, and put that in the client folder. So when the client walks back in the office, again, it's not about the S&P. It's right. like, here's what you said was important the mm-hmm. last time we got together. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that's changed?
Yeah.
Are there any priorities that changed? First of all, it's a way of getting deep into some conversations that you're just now asking questions of what they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, it's a way to reaffirm that the goals are the most important thing,
yep.
not anything else.
And you're using their words,
yes.
their ideas, which gives them a lot more buy-in. I don't know if you actually know this. I started my life off as a therapist. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we always do as therapists is say, hey, John, you need a journal. And so what would happen is, you would give somebody a book and it was blank and they would never, ever write in it, right? But what we found out is if I could get you writing in it, drawing pictures, writing down your goals, all of a sudden that book's not so scary. So that's fantastic with your four quadrants
yeah.
because not only does it reinforce what's really important to them, it changes the conversation, which is what we're talking about here with changing the focus, but it also gets them to really buy into your process. So
and you know what, it is an opportunity for them to really have conversation that they've never had before.
Yeah.
I was in one meeting where the husband had written down on that half to later that he wanted to take care of his brother.
Oh.
His brother had some issues. I don't remember exactly what it was. And the wife looked over and kind of reached over and erased that, take care of my brother, and put that in and a want to instead of a have to. And you know that conversation didn't stop.
Oh, yes.
When they left the office.
That was an interesting ride
exactly,
home, I'm sure,
exactly.
man.
But it really opened up, and they got a conversation going that they had never had before
wow.
about priorities. So it's a really good tool to help people. So I love that, whether it's the first meeting or whether it's the 14th meeting,
mm-hmm.
is going back and making sure that what we talked about is still important to you at different times.
Absolutely.
Those scenarios that you want to go through.
So now we've really seen what's underneath the water level here with this iceberg. Kirk, do you have anything that you want to go ahead and add with where we're at right here? Because we're talking about changing your focus, and so we did just talk about, make sure you ask your clients, create the workflows so no balls get dropped. We're going to make sure that we have a better communication systems, hold successful client meetings, and then you had a thing that you wanted to add to this, correct?
I just want to make sure that advisors understand how important it is to package their value. I think that advisors, sometimes clients don't, if you see something and you can touch it and it becomes tangible, I think they feel there's a lot more value in that than if you just did something and they weren't able to touch it or feel it or see it. So I think if you can package your process, you can provide plans and reports that they didn't know they needed or could be produced and make sure they understand that those are there,
mm-hmm.
That you have a planning program that addresses a niche audience or a niche expertise, and that you integrate your brand message as much as you can when you package these things. So I think if you do that, just one more thing that adds value to the great stuff that John shared with us today.
Well, that's fantastic. John, do you have any closing statements that you'd like to make here on the four ways to create positive client experiences and get more referrals?
Yeah, I think what I started with is what I want to end with, is that it's not them. It's mm-hmm. not them that they're not giving the right referrals. It's
mm-hmm.
really about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about if you want and deserve referrals, then you've got to work for it.
Yeah.
And focusing on what you can control is going to allow you to gain that new business and gain that and those referrals.
And I'm going to just add one thing here, which is that's a great life lesson too, everybody. If you can look at how you're interacting with just not only just your people, when you're driving, whatever, and think about what you can actually control and what you can't, I personally think that you can be a much happier person and not be so worried.
Great.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. We just got done talking to John Anderson, who's the director of, I'm going to get this right, you are the managing director and head of practice management. And we just talked about the four ways to create a positive client experience and get more referrals. Thank you very much for listening to Top Advisor Marketing, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic.